Hey, do you have an idea for an invention or innovation for the sport of waterfowl hunting? Today's guest on 870 The Flyway did, and unlike the rest of us, he did something with his idea. Come on along and let's talk with Wyatt of Wyatt's Waterfowl Company on today's 870 The Flyway. Here we go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
We're talking duck hunting on 870, The Flyway.
We're in the blind now, loading our guns and scanning the sky for the first flock of ducks to appear.
When I was 27 years old, I didn't even own a pair of hit boots all winter.
There's a flock now. Looks like about 25 balance.
What kind of gun did you use?
Freaking 12 gauge, what do you think?
You're listening to 870 The Flyway, your duck and goose hunting podcast.
Memberships in the Canvasback Duck Club.
Canvasback? When I was a fighter, that's what they called me. I was on the canvas so much, I used to stand like that. Not for long.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Ordinarily, we're going to open up on ducks that are all of a half mile away.
Do you have any idea when the last time somebody won the world with a wooden duck hole?
I'm hovering over the decoys. Okay, let him have it.
Did you shoot any?
Yes, like 50 of them.
Three ducks hit the water with a resounding splash.
On 870, The Flyway.
All right, here we go with Wyatt's Waterfowl Company as our featured guest on 870 The Flyway this week. Wyatt and Buddy Bradley from Southwest Oregon. Tell us where exactly in Oregon you're from and a little bit about your background as waterfowl hunters.
Well, from Oregon.
In Roseburg, Oregon?
Yeah, Roseburg, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
And we do a lot of waterfowl hunting around here, and we're...
You mainly chase ducks?
Yeah, mainly ducks, not much geese or any big game.
And Oregon has a couple different flyways, and we will spend time at the coast. We'll spend time over eastern Oregon. We just kind of go wherever the ducks are going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so is it fair to say you're in southwest corner of Oregon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you have the option of Northern California and the ocean and Oregon and everything. So you've got a lot of variety out there, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And we even go up to the Columbia River and Willamette Valley. We got a lot of neat different avenues for duck hunting out here.
Well, cool. Well, cool. Well, Wyatt, we're here to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, and that's waterfowl hunting and waterfowl calling. Tell us what we're here. Tell our listeners why we're here today and what your role is with that.
Well, about mainly the call. And the call that I designed just, I don't know exactly.
So you designed a waterfowl call?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What are you talking about? What it does?
So the waterfowl call does... is whistle, and it does a widgeon, pintail, drake, mallard, and green wing teal.
Alrighty. And how did you and your dad come up with the idea to do a 4-in-1 call versus maybe like a regular mallard call?
Well, just we live in an area where there's a lot of widgeon and pintail.
Okay. All right. So it's what you hunt then.
And you wanted to shape it differently?
Yeah, and shape it differently so it's small and compact.
What about the noise?
Oh, yeah, the noise. Just to have a perfect tone, a little bit different than everybody else's, to get the perfect widgeon tone.
All righty. Okay. Tell our listeners how you built the prototype, the working model.
I started off by drawing that on paper because I saw my dad drawing some other prototype stuff, and then I drawn one, and then we probably went about 30 different ones that we went through and picked out that design.
Okay, about 30 different models. Wow. And do I infer from what you said that your dad is an engineer or a draftsman or?
Yeah.
So. All right. Okay, buddy, you might want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, so my background is I'm pretty heavy in manufacturing, designing. So I'm pretty used to customers coming to me with, you know, design ideas. Uh-huh. And then we take those ideas to reality and we try to improve them at the same time.
Excellent. So go ahead.
Yeah, so when I saw Wyatt's idea, it was kind of a natural thing I've been doing my whole career, and he had a really good idea on paper. So
how does your call Wyatt or Buddy and Buddy, how does that differ from some of the other 4-in-1 calls that are basically like police whistles?
It gets loud and soft when you need it and has a little bit different tone and different shape and compact.
So it specializes in the widgeon. Yeah. And then with the variable tone, we can hit the pintail note really well.
Okay.
And then and like a lot of other whistle calls, you can't get that loud on them.
Uh-huh.
This call lets you get loud and maintain that same tone. So on the windy days, you can reach out to those widgeon and really, you know, get their attention when you need to.
Terrific. And a lot of the folks listening around the country are saying, man, widgeon, cotton tops, bald pates, we'd love to bring those in close enough for a shot. And this is the model that is designed for that specifically, but also does double duty, triple duty on those teal peeps and the pintail trill. Tell us a little bit about did you do a lot of testing on this? I mean, you came up with this in a fairly short time, if I remember the original story that I heard about it.
Yeah, we did a little bit of testing, mm-hmm. quite a bit.
So. Yeah, it happened pretty fast. The one thing I will say that we got going is we primarily shoot widgeon and pintail. That's okay. That's our main area that it's. Some days that's all we see, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a really good idea what these ducks want, the sound. Honestly, the feedback that we're getting from everybody so far, we're already seeing repeat customers come back fast. Wow.
Terrific. Well, Wyatt, in the time you did test it out on ducks and you saw that your design worked, what went through your mind? What did you think or feel then?
Well,
Were you excited?
Yeah, pretty excited.
What about making the calls? Tell us about the making of the calls. Who, you designed them and Wyatt and your dad put them into reality. And who makes the calls and what are they made out of? Because they're very cool. I've got one right here, thanks to you.
Yeah, well, the call is just kind of everybody makes them in our family right now. And
So your mom, your sisters.
Yeah.
So we all partake and help making them.
Okay. Okay. Family business then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. What are they made out of?
It's a Lumalite. It's kind of like acrylic, but it doesn't have the breaking properties of acrylic. So you can drop it, Wyatt actually has a video on YouTube of us running it over with the truck.
Oh,
it's still able to blow and make a sound and do really well.
How about
so it's the same material as like what bowling balls are made out of.
Okay. Well, I'm holding this one that you sent me, the one of two. Thank you for the samples. Wyatt's Waterfowl Company on one side, proudly written on the other side, made in America. And then I like that very much. And then some ducks art around the end of it there. Wyatt, did you come up with that artwork yourself?
Yeah, I drew the ducks on a piece of paper.
Uh-huh.
To start out, then my dad did it on a computer to make them, mm-hmm. and put them on the call.
Cool. Now, are those Weegians? Do you call them Weegians out there? Do you call them ball pates, top cotton tops? What's your pet name for those words?
In Oregon. Kind of everything.
Depends on the day.
Okay. So you chose this material for its durability, I guess, for the fact that it lasts and it stands up to being run over by your truck or dropped off a mountain or whatever. versus making it on like a wood lathe, right?
Yeah, and it also for the manufacturing standpoint, it offers better health benefits because acrylic's pretty nasty stuff if you're doing fumes. And you got to have the proper ventilation. So the more I looked into plastic, because I'm coming from a metal background, that was one of my big strong points. Is I don't want to put toxic stuff out there.
Sure.
And the kids are going to help, you know, learn to build stuff. We want to have it as safe as possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, good thought. I'm glad you brought that up, buddy. Tell your listeners a little bit more about the call. How do you come up with the pintail trill? Because I got to admit, I've tried this call, and I'm going to have you give me a tutorial on it because I cannot make the trill.
Usually, like flutter your tongue, and I'd cover the hole at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, but just flutter your tongue.
And it felt like a flute whistle.
Yeah.
There you go. So if you can't do that, then are you out of luck, or is there another way?
You're out of luck on the pintail. Yeah, it does take some practice. You know, the more we're learning about. Some of the feedback we get is guys have a hard time with that, but they can't blow any other pintail call. You know, I think there's another, like a high roller brand that has the ball in there, just like a police whistle.
Right.
You know, those are out there, but you lose some versatility, you know, and you got to pack more calls.
Right. And the volume isn't really there, as you pointed out at the top. Yeah. Who have you got on board helping Wyatt's Waterfowl Company grow at this point in time? Are you selling your calls, marketing your calls yourself, or do you have dealers lined up, or how are you selling them, Wyatt?
Well, it's mainly us. When
we started a Shopify, YouTube, we're marketing ourselves. We're starting to have some people reach out to us because this is the first year we're selling them. And we're getting a lot of people reaching out trying to help. So you'll probably be seeing some on YouTube here in the next couple months from some guides. There's actually a lot of guides that are reaching out to us that are actually bought the calls, and we'll be sharing them with a lot of their clients.
Any interesting people on your client list so far that you can drop their names?
Yeah, there's Mike Thompson from Thwacket Outdoors.
Yeah, and 22 Outdoors.
22 Outdoors. He's a guide out here in Oregon. We have, what's the other company? The
Militia Waterfowl, I think.
Militia Waterfowl. They're on YouTube, and it's another guide out of Oklahoma, and he does really well in the Wigeon. That seems like his specialty over there.
Okay, in the Central Flyway. Yeah. Oh, any faraway places your calls have gone to that you know of so far? Since you probably do the shipping too, right?
Yeah, we had an international shipping for the first time last week. I don't remember what country it was going to. I just saw the order process, and we put the label on there. But most of the calls they're heading to the Midwest.
Okay.
I know you guys got a lot of Wigeon there, and then a lot in like Washington, you know, in our area out here where there's a lot of Wigeon.
Right, very much a staple bird, yeah. Well, one of your marketing ploys that I guess it's a marketing tool, or am I just the only one that got one, Wyatt, is you're sending out a handwritten thank you note with your calls. Are you doing that with a lot of people, or should I just feel extra special?
Yeah, we've been doing it with a lot of people.
Good. Good.
Every single call has had one so far. And I think we had one weekend where we got a little busy with a lot of projects and we couldn't get a couple of them out, but that was it.
Tell folks what your letter says in brief. I mean, it's just, they all have probably about the same thing, right?
Yeah. It's all about the same thing. Some might kind of change, but most of them just say, thank you for your order. And then just where, like, please follow on some places. And then just, like, the last part was, like, just good luck this season.
And signed, Happy Hunting Wyatt. That's awesome. I tell you what, young man, a lot of big companies around the country and around the world could take a could take a leaf out of your book on that deal, because that's genius and well done. So kudos to you and your folks for doing that. What future plans? What things are you going to try to do to continue to grow your company?
Well, it is come up with more products for sure.
So you're designing a duck call right now, and then he's got a goose call in the motions, which we probably won't release till next year, because it's another, it's kind of like the whistle. It's something unique. Nobody's done. We're going to try this year, but it's so involved compared to any other call I've ever seen. So it's a lot of development. That whistle took a long time to develop.
The
same thing with this goose call he designed.
Alrighty. All right. Great. Well, we'll look forward to that. Now, if I recall right, did you guys start with lanyards at your little venture, your company, and a couple of years ago?
Yeah. Just all duck lanyards and duck totes.
Okay. And are you continuing with those? I wasn't clear about that when we talked earlier.
Yeah, we've improved on them too quite a bit.
Okay. All right. I suppose you can see the lanyards at your website. Is that right?
Yeah.
Let's tell folks about your Facebook and website presence, how they can reach them and the addresses and things like that before we get away.
So for the website, it's at whitewarfalco.com. Then on Facebook, it would just be Whitewarfalco Company.
All righty. And again, on those, you've mentioned it earlier, but let's recap. On those websites and things, you can see not just your product showcased and maybe some pricing and how to order, but maybe some tutorials. Is that right?
Yeah. Those tutorials are on YouTube, we have.
And we're hoping to get a few more of Wyatt using the calls actually out hunting this season. It's kind of hard because we hunt a pretty tight public spot, so we don't want to. You know, we're a small community out here, so we try not to show off our public ground.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, I have to say that I do follow you guys on Facebook, and we did see some photos of a very successful hunt that you guys did the other day. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Wyatt? It looks like you got more than just a few wigeon on that one.
Yeah, that was a youth hunt. Too long ago.
So you got two days of youth hunt, and you got how many ducks?
I think I got 14 ducks and a goose.
All right. And is the goose is getting a Canada? It's a Canada goose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that unusual for your area to hunt or not?
It was a little bit. Yeah, it's kind of.
Well, that was your first big honker by yourself, too.
Yeah.
We're always shooting together usually, and so that was him by himself shooting, and he can claim it 100%.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about, in the moments we have left, what's been the reaction when people find out that Wyatt's Waterfowl Call CEO is only 10 years old or so? Have you 10 or 11 yet?
I'm 10.
You're 10. Okay. How do they act whenever they find that out, Wyatt?
Pretty surprised.
All right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they'll buy the call knowing that a 10-year-old created it and it's his business. But once they get it, they're always repeat customers. The quality is, it's over the top for what it is.
That's
the reaction I see.
Good reaction. Now that backs up every one of your other efforts. So well done. Your friends, Wyatt, how do they feel about your business venture?
I don't know.
Well, you got one friend that's getting into duck hunting now, so he's taking hunter safety, and we'll be taking him, right?
Yeah.
A lot of kids look up to you for this.
Oh yeah, I bet so. You'll have buku friends whenever it really gets out there. Well, I know this is an old question, but in this case, I believe it's a good one. It's, what do you want to be or do when you grow up, Wyatt?
Well, I just kind of want to be a guide. Duck hunting guide.
And why exactly would you want to be a duck hunting guide, young man?
I just like being outdoors a lot and meeting people.
Okay. Do you feel like you're going to want to keep the call business going as you get older too?
Yeah, I'll be doing that for a while too.
And any other goals? What are other goals for your future?
Probably about it.
It's about it. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about it. We've got a few minutes here. Let's talk about one more segment or aspect of waterfowling. Everybody's always interested in the gear that other guys hunt with, especially folks from other parts of the country. What do you guys shoot, and what's your ammo choice? And you can name names if you want. It's okay to drop company names and all that, and their decoys and of choice. And we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Well,
I have a 20 gauge that's a Franchi. I got Cerakoted. Yeah.
All right.
I think my favorite shells probably would be, I don't know, I shoot a lot of everything. Probably Black Cloud or that.
Pastille.
Yeah, Pastille is probably my favorite. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What did you bag the goose with?
I don't know that day.
That's all right.
Like yeah. Different show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all right. Tell us a little bit about how you and the goose came to be in the same airspace, and you put him on the ground. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
So we had a, when we were hunting, we had a big flock of geese land in a pond behind us. So we walked over and they started flying up and I got one.
All righty. So it was a jump shot then.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
there you go. That can be a pretty tough shot. How far was he, do you think?
Probably about, I don't know, 30 yards.
That's probably about right. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good fair shot, wouldn't it, for a 20 gauge especially. All right, buddy, how about you? What's in your gear locker?
You know, I like running a Benelli. I just, gun I've had for a lot of years, I just won't die. Mm-hmm. And as far as shells, I go back and forth. I like trying everybody's shells out, trying new things. Yeah, I can't really say I have a favorite at the moment. I do like the Federal shells, but it might just be old habits. Mm-hmm. As far as decoys, man, it's another thing. We buy everybody's decoys. We have a collection. I like the G&H. The paint has held up for me for years. Uh-huh. But now I got such a bad back. I'm looking at like Deadly. Is it Deadly decoys?
White Rock,
Dive Bomb. Okay, we bought all of them. I really like them all.
Going for the lighter weight, the EVA decoys, the foam construction. Yeah.
When we can, we've noticed some of the brands have more shine than others. And we noticed that, especially here in Oregon, when you get the sun to go through the clouds on a rainy day, man, we've been having to pull decoys some days. But when the weather's right, man, they're hard to beat.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the style of hunting that you guys mainly do. I think folks would be interested in hearing about that. Are wait and shoot? I mean, are you walk in? Are you kayaking in, or do you hunt from a fixed blind? Tell us about that.
Mainly just hunt over a decoys, but like
everything's on our backpack.
Yeah, we pack in usually.
Okay.
Kayak in some places, and then we really like hunting tidal flats and just chasing the tide around. Not recommended if people are not familiar with tides. It's very dangerous because we'll hunt all the tides and during the winter, that's if you ever experience tides, you got to be really paying attention.
Okay. And for those of us who are land lovers and flatlanders, tell us, buddy, in layman's terms, what that means. Does it just come in so fast that you're surprised, or?
Yeah, well, you can get way out in these tide flats, and you'll have to cross channels on the way out. Mm. Or the way in, and then that water, you know, some days can move 6-8 feet on you, and most of that movement's within a 2-hour window.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's what makes it really hard is that's usually when you're shooting your ducks.
Yeah.
So you don't want to leave.
I got you. Okay. All right. Before we go, let's, if do you guys have a Wyatt's Waterfowl Company call handy?
We can go grab one in here in a second. We got one. Well,
let's do that. I'd like to do an outro here at the end of the show with you guys performing or doing some calls as they should be done on your yes. call, not the way that I've been doing them in learning. So,
all right. Wyatt's going to demonstrate the call. He's the best one at it.
All right. And I'll introduce the two of you. Here's Wyatt and Buddy demonstrating the various calls and specifics about how to produce them on the Wyatt's Waterfowl Company 4-in-1 call. And we thank them both for being with us today on 870 The Flyway. Take it away, guys.
Hi, I'm Wyatt from Wyatt's Waterfowl Company, and here's the call I invented and me and my family make. Today I'm going to be showing you how to use this call. And this call does a Drake Mallard, green-winged teal, a widgeon, and a pintail. So I'm start off by showing you the widgeon. You just go high, low, low, high, low, low. And for the teal, you just do short bursts of air. And for the pintail, you flutter your tongue and cover this hole right here in just short bursts. And for the Drake Mallard, my dad's gonna be doing, because it's kind of hard for kids to do. To get that sound, use hum, and you can cover this hole, or you don't have to. I prefer not. And we make these calls in a variety of different colors, and we also make these whistle drops right here, two carabiners that you can clip onto the end of our call right there. Clip this to your zipper or your lanyard. And we also make a single loop call drop that you can put on this right here on the call. And we also make a bunch of our duck totes and lanyards at whiteswaterfowlco.com. Catch you on the next one. Bye.
One more thing, let's make sure we don't leave anybody out and have any hurt feelings in your family. Go ahead and name off who else is in your family, your mom and any other, and your siblings. So that way we've got everybody on tape.
Yeah, go for it.
Like name? Yep. All right, so me, and then my dad, and then my mom.
Paisley,
and then Lily.
And they're all getting to be really good call builders.
Yeah,
they check our calls, and it's just what we do most nights anymore.
Yeah, I bet so. Your success. Now you went through everybody's name, but poor mom didn't get her name on the air. What's
Courtney?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not used to saying that.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks for the interview, and best of luck with the calls. A great story and a great future, I hope, for you guys with that. Do let us know whenever the goose call is available. This has been Wyatt and Buddy from Wyatt's Waterfowl Company in Oregon on 870 The Flyway.
This is Foxy back with you on 870 The Flyway. Available in a rainbow of hand-poured acrylic colors, Wyatt Waterfowl Company's new 4-in-1 call not only attracts teal, sprig and widgeon, but also puddlers educated by overuse of mallard duck calls. 10-year-old Wyatt's new call is $28 plus tax and shipping. Order yours by going to the company's Facebook, Instagram or Etsy pages. Custom colors available. Whistle your way to a limit with Wyatt Waterfowl calls.
There was a time when ducks and geese darkened the skies, when iron men with shotguns of walnut and steel, coats of canvas, and carved wooden decoys enjoyed golden days afield for unbelievable waterfowl hunting.
Duck Hunting Traditions brings you all the best of those times. Duck Hunting Traditions is lovingly handcrafted by and for all of us who feel sometimes like we were born in the wrong century. If you love the old school ways and traditions of duck hunting, the old shotguns, decoys, and gear, and the legendary places and stories, then we've built a magazine just for you. 6 issues, just $29 at duckmags.com, or send a check to Traditions, Box 1, Huntsville, Missouri, 65259.
This has been a Filmways presentation, darling. This has been a Filmways presentation, darling.